Well, here we are.
It is time, Simba.
If you understand that reference, you might be about the age where we should be working together. It's possible. But it is now one of 3 times a year that I'm accepting clients for my freedom framework, overcoming food sensitivities and increasing energy without unnecessary restriction. My goal for my one-on-one clients is to take them through frameworks and explore tools for achieving 50, 80, 90% of their goals in just a few months and show them how to continue to heal on their own so they don't need me anymore. Honestly, I think we're doing great one-on-one work here, helping women that would otherwise be falling through the cracks, thinking that they're just aging, that they're just moms, that they just, and it may be true that they just have stress, when really those stress hormones and their other core systems just really need some serious support and some serious love to serve them for years to come without symptoms. So if you'd like to clear inflammation, eczema, food sensitivities, or improve energy and brain clarity, I'd love to chat with you. You can book a call with me at kristabigler.com/FSS, kristabigler.com/FSS, and that link will be in the show notes.
There's a huge disconnect for people around how trauma impacts their health and how this like timeline in their life around like when they were experiencing things and how and when they were getting like sick and how and when this was showing up in their body is so unrealized for people.
Stress is the inflammation that robs us of life, energy, and happiness. Our typical solutions for gut health and hormone balance have let a lot of us down. We're over-medicated and underserved. At The Less Stressed Life, we're a community of health-savvy women exploring solutions outside of our traditional Western medicine toolbox and training to raise the bar and change our stories. Each week, our hope is that you leave our sessions inspired to learn, grow, and share these stories to raise the bar in your life and home. Right. Today on The Less Stressed Life, I have a dear friend, Carrie Natwick, who's a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and an integrative and functional nutrition certified practitioner. So we'll talk about what that means. She serves individuals who struggle with chronic digestive complaints like bloating, constipation, diarrhea, gas reflux, and abdominal pain. And she also serves people who are struggling with disordered eating and binge eating disorders through the incorporation of intuitive eating principles and mindfulness-based techniques. I don't think I knew this about you.
Really?
I don't think so. So this is good though, because what is it, like 80% of people with disordered eating have gut issues, something like that?
Pretty much, yeah.
And or I'm like seeing 105%?
Pretty much, yeah. There's a lot of overlap for sure.
So we really agree about this, but you know, unlike ineffective one-size-fits-all solutions that only create more fear and stress, I just love that line, that create more fear and stress. My answer to things, people are like, should I do this? I'm like, well, if it should see how it's making you feel. Like there's a lot of things that just
pay attention.
They could be an option, but we're just going to go ahead and take them off the table because they add to your stress, which is counterintuitive to absolutely everything. So it won't really matter.
It's not healing. That's right.
Yeah. So she helps people develop individualized approaches that move them toward attunement and alignment in their health. So we're going to talk all about attunement. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you. So good to see you, my friend.
So Carrie is this kind of like warm motherly figure. I mean that in this like lovely way. She's got this amazing skin. I'm always wondering what she's using. These are how I
not
feel
telling.
About Carrie. This is how,
telling.
This is how I feel about Carrie when I'm in the room with her. But one thing I was kind of impressed by when I first met Carrie was she has done like all this like wild training in different integrative health realms that I respect. A lot of times people are doing like they're gathering, I don't know how you feel about this, but there may be gathering trainings, but not using them. And I feel like you kind of more methodically picked this stuff to, it's really lended to how you're practicing now. So I want to get into a little bit about that. So my questions are kind of two part here on this. You love this gut brain connection.
So much.
So I want to know why you're really like, what spawned the interest in that and why? And then if you want to then segue, you can do this. I just want to hear more about how that maybe even informed, or I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg, like was gut brain connection of interest first, or was that some of the reasons you pursued some of those trainings and certifications? And I just want to hear about some of like the life change and practice change that happened as you added different tools to your tool belt. So talk to us about this gut brain connection and like why you care about it so much.
Well, you know, I've been a dietitian a very long time. So So, like, we're talking decades, like over two decades at this point, which feels really unbelievable to me. And I've done a lot of different things in, you know, in my career, starting like working in pediatrics to working in perinatal health. I've worked a lot in Indian health services, including working, you know, I worked for over a decade in Alaska. And I think like a lot of where the gut brain connection, you know, kind of emerged for me is in working with people who have like been living in trauma. And like coupled with that is like how trauma impacts the body and how it shows up in chronic disease states. And this can be everything like working, especially in Alaska Native communities, like thinking about the impact of historical trauma on chronic disease. Sometimes that's gut related, but it's also related to everything from diabetes to cardiovascular disease to depression. And, you know, working in Alaska, also, I came into contact with a lot of traditional healers, like a lot of like shaman like healers, a lot of kind of, I don't know, like into what we would call in our space, like integrative healing modalities. But it's these were really just like historical, you know, healing modalities that have been used by tribes and passed down from generation to generation. And so like getting exposed to, I think that world is where I became really interested in it. And then I think, you know, another really pivotal moment for me was when I did a training with Dr. James Gordon at the Center for Mind Body Medicine, and just seeing what he was doing in the work of like, you know, trauma healing for people, using a lot of really approachable healing modalities. So he has teams that go all over the world into spaces where people are experiencing trauma. And he will use like really accessible healing modalities based on these premises that, again, have been part of cultures throughout the world, which is that we all experience trauma. We all experience, like in the United States, especially, we all live under chronic stress. The impact that this has on our bodies, most of it for so many people is kind of unrealized. And then when it's unrealized, how it becomes embedded in our nervous systems, and then like how we do not pay attention to that. And we do not use like some of these ancient wisdoms around how we discharge stress from our nervous systems and our bodies, and how when we don't do that, it starts to show up in our physiology. It shows up in our gut-brain connection. There's all kinds of, you know, changes that occur in the microbiome that start to impact everything from what's happening neurologically, what's happening with brain function, what's happening with mood and emotions. And so this like idea of kind of integrating all of that into healing, you know, and first taking this idea of like this somatic experiencing idea where we first use attunement or interoception to first like slow down and like actually kind of realize like where we're feeling things, where we're experiencing things, how trauma, how chronic stress is showing up in our body, so that we can implement some of these really simple techniques that shift from a sympathetic nervous state into a parasympathetic nervous state. And so I've had a lot of exposure, like through teachers. And when I'm working with people, like most of the women that I work with and many of the men that I work with, especially in the gut health space, but you're right, 100% in the eating disorder space. And I don't work with as many eating disorder clients anymore. I'm really selective about who those people are. I mostly work with, you know, GI related disorders, but most of them have a lot of unrealized trauma, whether it's small T, big T, chronic or acute. And it's like, there's a huge disconnect for people around how trauma impacts their health and how this like timeline in their life around like when they were experiencing things and how and when they were getting like sick and how and when this was showing up in their body is so unrealized for people, it seems like.
It's funny that you're using the word unrealized stress, because that's been like my favorite newish term to use. And I haven't really heard anyone else use it, because this is actually for the longest time has been a greatest struggle with clients, because how do you help people realize unrealized stress? Like, how do you make that tangible?
Yeah. Well, it starts with doing the hardest thing, which is slowing down. You know, I mean, and slowing down in, it can look like a lot of different things, Right. And so one of the things that when somebody first starts working with me, well, we talk about the concept of allostatic load, mm-hmm. right? And which it refers to all of the various stressors that are in our lives that are showing up in different ways in our body. It can be everything from like you wake up in the morning and the first thing you're thinking about is your to-do list in a day. That your body is keeping the score around that, right? And then the second, like it can be other things, like you have a stressful job, you have a stress relationship, you have financial stressors. And, you know, like, so slowing down first and just inventorying what is contributing to allostatic load. And then, you know, coupled with that is a lot of the work that we do around, you know, functional testing, where we'll look at what's happening with nutrient deficiencies, what's happening with infections, stealth infections, what's happening with dysbiosis, inflammation, right? All of this is like stopping, pausing, taking inventory of everything that is happening in a person's life and contributing to allostatic load. And then from there, we're kind of like peeling back the layers. But one of the things in order to incorporate this like integration is, you know, I usually give people assignments around taking moments to check in with themselves in the day. And this is what interoception or attunement is. And so I'll use this thing. I call it the gut brain heart check. And so it can be done, like people can do it while they're just sitting in their chair. They can stop, they can lay on the floor. I always like the idea of somebody laying on the floor and feeling really grounded and feeling really held. They can cover themselves up with a blanket. They can put on a, you know, an eye mask if they really want to just kind of tune inward. And just stopping and first like checking in with your gut. And again, because I work with a lot of people who have GI related issues, a lot of times stress, trauma, unrealized stress, allostatic load will show up there, right? So what is that feeling like? And then kind of extending that to the rest of your body. You know, like where do you feel tightness? Where do you feel tension? Where do you feel discomfort? Because all of that can also be representative of things like being in a freeze state, right? When you're under chronic stress and you're, you know, engaged in your sympathetic nervous system perpetually, sometimes that also can show up as freeze. And so sometimes we'll see that like in our shoulders, we'll see that in the way that we hold our posture. Sometimes freeze shows up in our gut when it slows, like when we're just seeing the slowing of our migrating motor complex and motility in our gut. So just really having people like pause, attune, pay attention. And then second is like, and I think this is kind of where so many women especially kind of move into override, is just stopping and moving into your heart and your emotions and really letting yourself, like giving yourself permission to compassionately observe what you're feeling, non-judgmentally. Like, what are you feeling in your body? What are you feeling in your emotions? What are you feeling in your heart? And then the hardest part is really like letting your body feel those feelings and maybe even expressing them. And I think like what I, like so many people have told me when they have done this exercise is they have so much unrealized anger and so much unrealized sadness from, you know, like loneliness and disconnection in their life from, you know, whatever it is, like feeling like the betrayal even of their body. And so like allowing yourself to really feel it and express it. And sometimes like this process can even get really vocal. Like sometimes people will find themselves like yelling and screaming and just really emoting during the process, which is exactly what needs to be happening in order to move these energies, like move the stuck energy in your nervous system, in your body. It's a form of discharging it. And then, you know, the last part of this attunement process is just paying attention to what's happening in your mind. You know, what are the thoughts that you're thinking? What are you noticing yourself ruminating on? Is there something that you can, you know, for a lot of people, it can be things like just beliefs about their body not believing that, you know, it like feeling like their body is betraying them, not feeling like their body is capable of healing, feeling like there's always something wrong, you know, and then like, again, like perpetuating this whole cycle of like, you know, this gut brain connection where negative thoughts, stress, you know, negative emotions become like move downward, change the microbiome, which creates more dysbiosis and also microbes that then start re-signaling back to the brain that there's something wrong. And it really like creates this entrenchment in thought patterns. And really, like, in order to change all of this, the place where it starts is just first, like, doing something as simple as stopping and moving inward and checking in with yourself and just seeing what you notice.
There's a lot here that I have like 1,000 questions about. So first of all, I want to stay kind of present in the topics that you just shared, which was slowing down, stopping and moving into heart space and emotions and giving yourself compassion, and then paying attention to the repeat of what's on your mind, like what's on record is stuck in your brain. So can we say that the word attunement is essentially tuning inside?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you're giving people attunement exercises to the opportunity. We're very stimulated by the outside world, right? We're very stimulated. So you're asking people to change their attention from outside to inside, right?
Yeah. Right.
Simply kind of underlining this because I feel like people who need this, we struggle with it, right?
We all
these are things. So someone might say, well, that's nice, but how do I stop and move into my heart space and my emotions? And then maybe on that note, walk us through more of this lying down exercise. Like walk us through that a little bit more so we can understand that. I want to hear about it from a perspective of how you might assign this task, what happens when people go do it, and what do they report back? Maybe that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that these interventions do not have to be complicated. You know, I mean, and most of what it is changing patterns, like changing patterns of behavior, changing patterns of being, changing patterns of recognition and realizing where our attention is being drawn in any given moment in any day. But like, and if you start to pay attention to like your life and the world in that way, I think what we realize is you're absolutely right. Like we're all just so distracted all the time. I mean, there's a million things keeping us busy. Like, I don't think people even really know how to be bored anymore. I don't think kids really know how to be bored anymore. You know, just as an example of just how overstimulated we are all the time. So, you know, in assigning this task to somebody, one of the things is you just have to put it on your calendar. I mean, you really have to like carve out a space and a time where you're dedicated to doing this. Mm-hmm. I think like one of the times a day that elicits one of the best results is the transition time from work to home. Because that's the time when most people are like, especially women, are really overstimulated. They're kind of transitioning from one job to the next. And like their nervous system is already on override. And they're really already in this state of like total disconnect. Right.
I really appreciate that because I actually have a lot of guilt around this from the last like several years. And this is why I've, you know, in the summer, I figured out like I must have an office outside of my home, or this is kind of my physical adjustment. I don't know if it's really a correction, but I think that's the thing. I was really struggling to shift from work to home, which is, I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying like, well, I suck at this. So thanks for calling me out.
I mean, I think we all do. I know like summertime when my family is home and I'm here and working from home, it's like, I notice this showing up in my nervous system in a much bigger way, as opposed to like, I have the house to myself. There's nobody like asking me for things. There's nobody interrupting me. You know, like these are just little things that are happening. This is like no like major trauma that's happening in my life, but it really impacts my nervous system. And I think like to be able to give ourselves the permission to just stop and slow down and to literally like lay on the floor. And this can be like lay on the floor. I think legs up the wall is also a really great way to, you know, to implement and integrate this.
Because it stimulates the vagus nerve?
Yeah, you got it. It stimulates the vagus nerve. And it also like supports better blood flow, especially blood flow to our brain and blood flow to our heart.
Which is an issue when we're in chronic stress. We're preferentially moving that blood flow away from these organs in the center to our periphery. And so obviously things can't work well. So
exactly.
Keep going.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's part of our whole survival mechanism, right? Is if we're truly running from a saber-toothed tiger, our body is going to protect us by moving, shunting blood from our digestive tract into our extremities, into our heart, into our brain, so that we're more prepared to run or to fight, right? So being able to kind of like stop, slow down, and like move your body even into a space that, like, I think, you know, so sometimes like this is where like using a weighted blanket can even be really helpful, because it helps to engage our parasympathetic nervous system, promotes that sense and that feeling of safety in our body, laying on the ground, you know, so that your whole body even can feel really supported, can also kind of help us to like release that, the sympathetic nervous system of feeling like we're in fight or flight. And then, you know, when you lay down, the first thing you're going to do is, and this is through the work of Dr. James Gordon, he uses the term of a soft belly breath, which I really like. So it's, you know, so the first thing you do when you lay down is you might put your hands on your tummy and you just think of like, you just feel like that ebb and the flow, like the rise and the fall and the softness of your belly, and just starting to like tune into your breath and to start elongate your breath, and maybe even to like hold your breath and to pause your breath at the top and pause at the bottom using, you know, like the four square breathing. That's an automatic engagement with the parasympathetic nervous system, and arguably like the fastest portal into the parasympathetic nervous system. So you're promoting safety, you're promoting calm, you're engaging your parasympathetic nervous system. And, you know, sometimes, like, especially in patients that I've worked with who have, and like the kind of the profile would be somebody with chronic constipation, maybe a history of like big T trauma, where their body is truly in a state of freeze, like that gut brain heart check might stop at soft belly breathing, because there's so much disconnect happening that like just stopping and like feeling their breath is like a blow to their body and to their nervous system that they may not have had for years, you know? And so for some people, it's like just starting really slowly and starting in a way that feels safe and that feels right is like, that may be all somebody has capacity for. And then, you know, somebody who maybe has a little more capacity, who can really like move through, you know, what their body is feeling. And they may even like, you know, start in their gut, but they may start in their toes and just kind of move up like from their toes to your ankles and just kind of slowly move from, you know, bottom to top in your body. And just again, like, you know, through a place and through a lens of compassion, just seeing what you're noticing and just tuning into it. And there's no judgment around it. Like the most important thing is that whatever is coming up for you in the body scan is something that it is like, it is there, you know, and you, the unrealized portion of that and the kind of override or the disconnect or the ignoring is part of what keeps it there. So this, you know, like kind of saying hello to these things, so to speak, or just, you know, having this like acknowledgement or this recognition is like the first step to then you being able to discharge it. So that's kind of like how I work through the process with people. And then, you know, feeling into their heart, a lot of times journaling is something, and feeling into your heart, I know that's like a very flowery maybe term, you know, so I think, you know, again, with this whole gut brain connection, with our whole integration of our mind, our body, our emotions, our spirit, you know, one of the things that like will show up is we'll often feel things like right in our chest. And you hear people talking about this all the time, right? So with that is, you know, being able to feel it, it's usually something that needs to be released. And so, you know, when you feel it, it's just a sitting there with the feeling, whether it's a tightness, whether it's an ache. And if you sit there long enough with the breathing process, what often will happen or what people report to me is that they'll usually eventually cry. Mm-hmm. And that is one of like, that again is an example of how we discharge stress is, you know, we have to that either through crying, sometimes it's through moving, sometimes it's through dancing, sometimes it's through screaming and yelling. But, you know, that's like, there's different ways that our body can discharge stress, and crying is probably one of the greatest. And I can't even tell you the number of women that I meet who really don't allow themselves to cry, or the minute they feel it, they stop it. Mm.
So I want to walk through this. This woman, she lays down on the floor. Maybe she's got a blanket. She's kind of doing a body scan, which is like, there's different ways to do this, but maybe you talked about starting just in the belly and like feeling your belly and putting your hands on that. Maybe that's all you do. Maybe you move up to your heart. Maybe you move up to your head. So you're a kind of, I don't know if you have other instructions that you suggest people do, but a body scan is usually going through one section of the body at a time and kind of like checking in to see how I feel in this space. Right?
Yeah. I think I commingled my like terms and and techniques. So gut, brain, heart check is like checking with your body, checking with your gut, and in the gut check, which is basically checking in with your body, that's when you can implement that full body scan, right? Like starting, you know, top to bottom. And then second step, checking in with your heart, your emotions. How are you feeling? You know, are you overriding things like sadness, anger, loneliness? What's showing up for you there? Mm-hmm. And then the last is just watching your mind. Like, what are you thinking about? What are you ruminating on? Where are your thoughts in the day? Yeah. And, you know, these are all things that, you know, again, it can be quick. It can be like a 60-second body scan. Maybe that's all you need to do. And sometimes it feels better or you have more time to be able to implement it longer. And so maybe it ends up being like a 30-minute body scan where you do more breath work with the soft belly breathing. You know, I think this is where I don't really set those types of parameters on it for people. It's like, it's really, you know, time allotted and then, you know, what feels best for them in that moment.
I know before we jumped on here, we were brainstorming things we would want to talk about today. Mm-hmm. You mentioned people noticing pain in certain areas during this. So tell me about how this gets reported back to you as a clinician, and what are some of the things that people tell you that it brings up for them?
So oftentimes it gets reported back in like the check-in that I do with in one-on-one sessions with my patients. When people bring things like this up, you know, obviously I'm a dietitian and I'm not a therapist. And I always tell people that. And I think like the biggest thing with this whole technique is that, you know, whatever people are experiencing in that moment, again, is that they're moving into a space of really caring for themselves and giving themselves that permission, you know, to do what their body needs. And so with that, I think, you know, there's a lot of things that people end up discovering. So I'll just give you some examples. So one of the patients that I talked to last week in this process, and this is really consistent for so many women, is that they discover that like one of the greatest needs that they have is to slow down and is to like, they need to spend more time in pause. They need to spend more time in rest. They need to spend less time in the doing of everything in their household of day-to-day life. And when they give themselves permission to do that, and they move into kind of like they start like, and usually it's kind of a slow, I guess, unraveling or like peeling back of the layers of how they implement that. It can be everything from like, I had one person, I guess this is like a bigger example, but you know, people will sometimes make career changes. Sometimes people will hire for help, whether it's help with, you know, their lawn, whether it's help with cleaning their house, whether it's help with, I mean, whatever it might be, there's a lot of things that people will discover and they give themselves the permission to do it. Mm-hmm. And they start like moving into supporting themselves in the way that they need to in their life. And a lot of it is like women really getting time back, you know, and women starting to prioritize themselves through this process.
Interesting. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about body attunement or tuning in and some practical ways to do that. I actually wanted to ask you about, you know, you said that, I don't know who Dr. James Gordon is, but you said that he was really instrumental or in showing you that this stuff can be really simple. Do you want to give any other examples of like things he was doing when he was going out and like helping big groups of people? Like what were some of the other modalities that he was potentially maybe using?
So one of the other modalities that he used that sounded really crazy to me at the beginning is this thing called shaking, like body shaking, like moving and shaking. And in he gave the example of, you know, like in nature, when, I don't know, let's say a cheetah is chasing a gazelle, right? That if the gazelle gets away from the cheetah, the first thing that you'll see the cheetah do is it'll stop and it'll shake. And then it like goes and starts eating grass again. And so this
I love picturing this, by the way.
I know. Me too. It's like, it's such a powerful example of how, like, in our primal bodies, like, we already know, like, how to discharge stress, right? And animals do this in the animal kingdom, and you don't see any traumatized animals. The ones that, like, can get rid of, like, the adrenaline, the cortisol surge, so they get rid of stress that way. And so he uses this, and it's based on, I don't know which African tribe, but there's an African tribe who uses the concept of, like, shaking and dancing. And so what he did while we were in this group was he put on this music with this, like, African beat, and you just close your eyes and you just start, like, moving your shoulders and moving your arms, shaking your hands, kind of like, you know, even like bouncing at your knees. And then if you want to, you can, like, jump up and down. And, like, he would, like, started increasing, like, how loud the music was. And you just started, you were just moving your body and shaking your body. And it was, like, the most glorious moment for me, because it just, like, it, like, I don't know, you can feel the release. Like, you can actually feel the discharge of, like, stress leaving your body. And so, like, this is something I talk about with my patients, is, like, that's one of the techniques. Like, when you come home for a stressful day, put on some music, right? Like, start shaking, start singing even at the top of your lungs as a way to engage your vagus nerve. And, you know, just, you start moving your body and shaking and discharging. And if it, whatever feels right, again, like, whatever comes up for you, whether it's like a vocalization, like a huh, huh, like, that can be a form of release, whether it's like a yelling, or whether it's like a, you know, like a singing, or whether it's like crying that comes up, whatever it is, it's like, it's one of the ways that we can discharge stress from our bodies.
Did you do this in person with him, or is this
online? Yeah.
Oh, this is so very fun. We can continue that conversation later. Okay.
Amazing.
So another thing I wanted to ask you about, I think you, this is another word you used in passing, and it does get, I see this a lot in the therapy world. So the word somatic, and I think you used experiencing. So tell us about a somatic experiencing.
Well, I mean, this soma means body. And with somatic experiencing, there's somatic experiencing, somatic therapy practitioners, where, you know, people will actually, you know, like, either kind of use energy work or even lay hands on people. But a lot of what, like, the whole concept of somatic experiencing, or, like, moving into your body. And you do that through the interoception, which is a lot of what the gut brain heart check is, where you're just checking in with what your body is doing. There's also proprioception, where it's more of a relation of, like, how your body is and feels in space. And then there's that kinesthetic version, where, you know, like, that shaking and dancing and, like, moving and, you know, doing those kinds of things. I think even like moving your body, even in exercise, is an example of, like, a way that we can discharge stress. So again, it's like, it doesn't have to be too complicated, right? And there's people who really specialize in this stuff. And then, you know, ultimately, like, when you boil it down, it's really simple and it's really accessible to all of us.
So you gave some examples of things that women discover when they go lay down, do the laying down, maybe body scanning exercise.
Yeah.
As people start doing some of these things in practice, is there any other things that you see as results with people?
Well, I think it's important to remember that, like, this is not the only thing, right? Like, this is, like, kind of one of the steps in the process of healing. And it's one of the, like, kind of foundational layers is the way that I kind of like to think of it in the healing process, where, you know, this attunement piece, like, you know, this is like that unrealized stress, the unrealized experience, even with in our own body, you know, the disconnect that occurs for so many people in their own body, you know, without moving into that, you know, I think the rest of the work that I do and you do as an integrative and functional practitioner is something, it's not as effective, right? So, like, so this becomes kind of the base layer, is just realizing what is happening in terms of allostatic load, realizing where we're storing stress in our body. But then, you know, like, all of the other layers of things that we do in terms of, you know, gut healing, testing, you know, nutritional repletion, changing somebody's even relationship with food and changing somebody's relationship with their body, beliefs about their body, on and on and on, then kind of gets built on this foundation of somebody really paying attention. Mm-hmm. And I think like it not only helps people heal, but it also helps people move through the processes of healing in the work that we do, where let's say like we change somebody's diet and they're not somebody who's used to really paying attention to what's happening in their body, or they're connecting like whatever. They think that everything that they eat is, you know, causing symptoms in some way. And that's usually a state of like fight or flight that somebody is in. So when somebody can kind of slow down and look at the information that their body is giving them as just that, as just information, then, and it's not something where their body is betraying them, or it's not something where like, I don't know, like that their body isn't capable of healing, which I think becomes a lot of people's beliefs. But when they're paying attention, non-judgmentally, looking at the symptoms that they're experiencing as information from their body, as their body trying to communicate something to them, and their job is to really pay attention to that, it can make the healing process go so much faster, right? So that's where I think like this is starts to integrate with everything else that we do in the healing process.
Yeah, I'm all about things that make things go faster. That is harsh. Okay. I feel like we covered a lot of things. You brought up body betrayal. You brought up body attunement. We talked through that. We talked about the laying down. We talked about shaking and dancing. We talked about somatic experiencing. We talked about how all of this can be a foundation. There was something you went over kind of quickly, but I think our audience would love to talk a little bit more about it before we kind of wrap up here. But you brought up a little bit, and I'm just going to ask you to kind of reiterate this or talk a little bit more about it. The changes that happen in your microbiota around thoughts, et cetera. Talk about the gut-brain connection literally a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think this is like we talked about kind of like the foundation of this, which is that when your body is in that fight or flight activation, you know, that blood gets shunted to our extremities, to our brain, to our heart. And, you know, the next, like there's lots of physiological processes that are happening during that time. One of which is that during this process, when our body is under stress, it also starts to release catecholamines, which increase cortisol. And then when that starts to occur in our body, we actually start to recruit our immune system, which creates more inflammation, right? And so the inflammation is not only in our gut, but it's in the entirety of our body. And so, and when we're in this state, as our cortisol starts to increase, one of the things that I don't ever really hear people talking about is that this cortisol also gets dumped into our gut, where it then gets metabolized by microbes in our gut. And then these byproducts go to our kidneys. They increase things like sodium and potassium because we're trying to, again, bring more fluid into our system, you know, and get more blood going to our heart, to our brain, to our extremities as we're getting ready to fight or flight, right? So the next thing in this process is then cortisol can bind to glucocorticoid receptors, which then give a negative feedback signal to the gut to tell it to slow down. And then as this cortisol increases in our gut, it starts to create leakiness in our gut. And we also get this whole inflammatory cascade of inflammation through things like interleukin 6, which then communicates back to our hypothalamus that we are in a stress state. And it keeps this whole stress response, like, you know, kind of moving round and round between our gut and our brain. So cortisol, when we have excess cortisol, kind of the easiest way to summarize this is that cortisol starts to create changes in our gut, where those microbes that are in our gut now start signaling stress to our brain. And our brain then just keeps this whole stress response like moving round and round and round in our body. And with the changes that happen to the microbiome, where we start having more of these like opportunistic dysbiotic microbes that start growing in the stressed out state, again, it's, you know, it just keeps this like, keeps it kind of starts hijacking our entire physiology. And so like this round and round experience, like unless you really intentionally like step on the brakes, like become aware of it, step on the brakes and stop this whole physiological process from continuing to recur in our bodies over and over all day long. It will keep going and it will eventually lead to chronic diseases, but especially, you know, things like dysfunction in our gut. So this is where, you know, I think like really understanding how microbes that are in our gut are connecting to our brain in so many ways, not only in like keeping the stress response going, but microbes in our gut are also things that can, you know, like when we're in this stressed out state, these microbes can also, like, for example, they can start to like promote cravings for sweets because, you know, these like carbohydrates become their main food. So they're going to, you know, they actually start producing neurotransmitters that start to like create some cravings for sweets. So there's this like whole hijacking of the system and these microbes like taking over to really like almost like hijack your whole body to perpetuate, you know, their survival. So again, like interrupting that process, interrupting and really, you know, actively engaging your parasympathetic nervous system in conjunction with all the things that you may have to do, like identifying that the microbes are there, getting rid of them, using, you know, things like psychobiotics to like re-inoculate your gut with beneficial bacteria, using things like diet, obviously. There's lots of different things that we can do to help, you know, grow that good gut garden and grow beneficial bacteria. So anyway, that's kind of this like kind of strategy that we use around like supporting that good gut brain access.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a symphony when you describe it. Should you like warm? I forgot all the reasons that I like Carrie. So when Carrie and I first met, we were like, ooh, we like each other. It's because
away.
It's because even though she's far, far away in Oregon, she's really from not very far from where I live. And so there's just a lot of, you know, we just have like these funny common denominators. Like I also worked in Indian health for like almost a decade. So.
Did you? Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a farm girl from Minnesota. So
yeah, it's good stuff. I know. I like it.
Yeah. We're running the same for sure.
Yeah. Well, we covered a lot and I loved it and it was fun. Yeah, and I can't wait to share this with people. Carrie, where can people find you online?
Yeah. So find me, my website is brainrd.com and it's also my Instagram handle at gutbrainrd. And you can give me a follow there or jump on my website. There's a place where you can fill out a discovery call application if you're interested in working with me, but just follow me and keep learning.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
I look forward to the next one.
Food sensitivities, low energy, and skin issues can all be caused by inflammation. The root cause of inflammation is immune system imbalance. So how do you bring the immune system into balance to correct inflammatory symptoms like food sensitivities, low energy, skin issues, and a cascade of other things no one seems to have the answer to, like being sick more often than you should be, having consistently low vitamin D, B12, iron, salt, and or sugar cravings, puffiness in your face or extremities, needing a daily antihistamine, losing hair, but your labs are normal? The answer to these things is immune resilience, and that's the overarching goal I have when working with one-on-one clients. So how could I help? Well, I found that you want the answer to everything, so I try to be as comprehensive as possible to be a one-stop shop. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to focus on weight loss because I'm not, but I will focus on the subclinical things that are often preventing weight loss or causing resistance, just for example. But big picture, I love helping people with these nitty-gritty weird symptoms that are falling through the cracks everywhere else under that inflammatory umbrella. I want to help you with as much as possible in the time we have together. So I try to include everything I need to do that, or I'm transparent about what I don't include. So what I usually include are a couple of labs, both gut and nutrient labs. You can always add on more if you want or if it's needed, but I try to keep it streamlined and efficient to start. I also include one-on-one interpretation and step-by-step personalized protocols. We will tell you exactly what to do and what you can expect for results and timelines. And support between appointments, I have weekly office hours, messaging, and training so you can understand the basics and ask advanced questions in our face-to-face time. You're welcome to take as much or as little as you want. You can think of it like an all-you-can-eat buffet, but you can graze here or there as needed as you need support between appointments. And if we don't hear from you, we'll even check in to make sure things are going okay and that things aren't falling through the cracks. If you're a past client and if you need anything, you're welcome to book a call too if it's been more than a year since I've seen you. And if I need a context of anything that's going on with you right now, I am taking clients currently the last time until fall. So right now I'm accepting calls. We'll ship out our testing or your testing in May and really get started in June. So if you want to maximize this season and bring your body into balance, you can go to KristaBigler.com or check the show notes and click on that program page to apply and book an intro call. Sharing and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help us succeed with our mission to help integrate the best of East and West and empower you to raise the bar on your health story. Just go to reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life. That's reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life, and you'll be taken directly to a page where you can insert your review and hit post.